United States versus Coney, Mr. Beaker.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. Your honors, there were two issues briefed on this case. There was a Booker issue and there was a wiretap issue. Government conceded the Booker issue in their brief, and I'm prepared to argue the wiretap issue unless this court wants to raise any remaining Booker questions and whether a remand is appropriate. On the wiretap issue, there's a clear statute in this case. The statute requires...
Well, actually, it's not that clear. It all depends on what satisfactory explanation means.
Agreed, Your Honor. And the government...
What do you think it means?
I think the satisfactory explanation is one that tells you what happened and provides you with understanding of why it took so long. I can't figure out from the two affidavits, and I don't know if the court has been able to figure out what happened and why it took so long.
Well, Salivari dropped the ball.
I don't believe that dropping the ball qualifies as a satisfactory explanation.
Why not? I mean, if that is what in fact happened, why isn't a satisfactory explanation a true explanation? That's what happened. We were negligent, you know, we were careless, dropped the ball.
This court in Jackson said that a satisfactory explanation has to be without fault.
I know, and I wrote it. I wonder if it's correct. It sounds too harsh, because after all, what we're concerned about is possible tamper. Now, of course, there was a very long delay in that case, 32 days. Of course, the longer the delay, the more you demand in the way of explanation. But there's no suggestion here of actual tampering.
I agree, Your Honor.
Of a motive for tampering or anything like that. So why take such a stringent view of satisfactory?
The statute was created in order to prevent any arguments or issues by saying there's a simple procedure.
Well, it sure didn't do that, right? Because there's loads of
we're here
litigation
often.
Over this issue and cases all over the lot, so that didn't work.
Were this court to say that a satisfactory explanation is we dropped the ball, then it would not be honoring the way the statute was drafted by the Congress.
No, it's perfectly consistent with the word satisfactory explanation. You have to have some reason why we should read the words your way.
Well, the reason I have is that there's no requirement if they could say we forgot, we dropped the ball. If there's something that unexpectedly happens and they don't do it on time, if there's...
No one goes through his or her life without dropping the ball occasionally, right? So is there anything to make this... It's not as if there's a pattern. Is there a pattern of the government saying, oh, we don't know what happened, you know,
That's, in fact, the
point.
So
why couldn't this just be an isolated error, because, you know, the vacation and so on, and leave it at that?
I don't dispute that it is an isolated error, because the government complies with the statutory requirements day in and day out throughout the country, and that's why...
And occasionally they screw up, right?
So. And in the occasion where they screw up, and then they can't satisfy the court...
But they did.
They did by submitting two affidavits.
No, but I mean they satisfied the court.
Agreed. They satisfied Judge Zagel.
Yeah.
And Judge Zagel's order said, essentially, what they've said is, the word essentially, to me, means he wasn't satisfied. I know. I read his order. I know what his order says. But this court can look at those two affidavits as well. I think there's a reason he had to use the word essentially, because the government never provided an explanation.
It did the best it can. It did the best it can.
And exactly, that's the reason. There's an assistant U.S. attorney drafting an affidavit who did the best she can and says, I can't remember. That could mean a lot of things. I'm not suggesting that there was a bad reason
for
it.
A lot of things. You don't remember. That's one thing.
Well,
sound like a lot of things.
But that doesn't... I don't remember leaves the door open for a lot of reasons why it didn't happen, none of which we can know because... The U.S. attorney doesn't remember.
Do we know where the tapes were during this five? What was? So it was 10 days, if 10 calendar days, 5 business days. Do we know where the tapes were?
I take the government at their word when they say they were sealed by them. in a box of some sorts and they weren't tampered with. I don't see any allegation of tampering. And the issue of 10 days versus 5 business days or holidays, I know that there have been various courts that have raised that issue. If the statute's purpose was to prevent tampering, then there's no reason to think the tampering can't happen on a Sunday morning or on Columbus Day.
No, I agree with you on that, but you say you take the government at its word that the seals weren't broken during this period.
Well, I take the government at its word.
There was some kind of seal. It wasn't a judicial seal, but there's some sort of...
They had it in a box and a bag.
Something on it, yeah.
And there's no allegation in the record that I could find that there was any tampering. But I take the statute at its words, too, which is that we have to be satisfied. Justice O'Connor said in her opinion in Rios, it's hard to imagine a situation where the government couldn't find some reason. It also has to satisfy you. We submit, we don't know what the reason is because the U.S. attorney can't remember it, and therefore I can't sit here and argue whether it satisfies me, but I certainly know that if the reason was in the affidavit, I forgot, I wouldn't be satisfied with that reason.
You've never forgotten anything yourself, you mean?
Plenty of things, but there's consequences.
Well, but suppose someone asked you something, you say, I forgot. Would the person have to say, well, that doesn't satisfy me. You better go to some recovered memory institute and, you know, have your brain examined carefully until we find that missing memory.
You're right, Your Honors. If she said, I forgot, that would give us the explanation. Then we would have to sit around and say, should the government be allowed to admit its most important evidence against somebody and put them in jail for 20 years based on that? I submit that the explanation provided, if it was, I forgot, would not be a satisfactory explanation. I'd like to reserve the balance
sure,
of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Ms. Miller?
May it please the court, counsel. I'd like to address some of the issues that the court just raised. One of the questions that was raised was whether or not there was a pattern of disregarding the statute in this case. And I would just like to raise attention to the fact that there were a total of 3 wiretaps in this case. In each of the 2 wiretaps, the statute was complied with. Even with respect to the second wiretap, which is the subject of the motion to suppress, we believe that there was a satisfactory explanation provided to the district court and that there is one that exists here. And to try to clarify what did happen, the affidavits in this case were done 3 years after the order had expired in the sealing requirement. As Assistant United States Attorney Karina Salavera indicated, she could not completely reconstruct the events that had happened 3 years earlier. But she does recall that AUSA Ross was on vacation. She does specifically recall that she did do things during that time period. In fact, she submitted 2 interim reports, so it does show that she was attempting to comply with the mandates of the statute. Then she wasn't sure if she expected that AUSA Ross would be back on October 13th and that she was going to be in the position to do the sealing application and order. On October 17th, AUSA Ross returned from vacation. Once it was realized that the tapes had not been sealed, she immediately, that day, October 17th, AUSA Ross did the request, the sealing application, the request for the order, though it did not get filed with the chief judge until October 20th.
So let me just ask about the what happens concretely with the sealing. So the case is the tape is taken to the court and a literal seal is placed on it, and then it's left in the court in a safe or something?
Correct.
And where was it when it was in the U.S. Attorney's office?
My understanding is that they were in evidence bags, that the tapes were sealed in evidence bags. And as the court correctly noted, there are no allegations with respect to
when you say it was sealed in an evidence bag, do you mean the bag was closed or there was a seal placed on the cassette?
I don't know the specifics, but my understanding is that the bag was sealed, that it was a typical evidence bag, and I am not exactly sure about the facts of that.
Okay.
To the extent that there's the argument being made that there was no explanation, there was clearly...
Well, what you say a sealed bag, you mean a bag that's fastened. You don't actually mean a seal on it.
Right, not with the formal...
Not with the...
Not sealing in the formal sense, but closed, fastened.
Okay.
But there is no... Significantly, the purpose of the statute is to ensure the integrity of the tapes, that the tapes
right,
are
Right, but of course,
reliable.
I think what Mr. Becker is pointing out, the assurance is greater the higher the standard for the explanation. So if we said, you know, which is hinted at in the Jackson case, that satisfactory means showing that it wasn't a careless error, then you're going to be more careful. Whereas if we say, well, you know, we understand people are fallible, and so as long as we don't think there's any hanky-pank, we think you're giving a true explanation, unlikely to have tampered, we'll accept it, then you can breathe easier. You don't have to be as cautious.
I think that there are certain factors that the courts look at in determining whether or not it's objectively reasonable. And one of those being the length of delay. And obviously, with the greater the length of delay, the more opportunity there is for tampering, or the less reliable the tapes or evidence may be. That's just one of the factors. But
well,
there's
10 days is pretty long. Not as long as Jackson, but still pretty long.
And there are, as you pointed out, Jackson was 32 days. There are cases where there are considerably longer delays, which the court has still held that there is a satisfactory explanation. It's 10 days, 5 business days, but regardless of which, there was an honest mistake here. And you know, mistakes, unfortunately, will happen. They did everything that they could, once they realized the mistake, to rectify the situation by getting the application done immediately. In light of the factors that were set out in Suarez as to what the court may consider, and I should also point out that along with the objectively reasonable that this court said was the standard in Jackson, it also looked to the sincerity of the explanation. As the district court found here, there was no doubt, nor was there any allegation that this was anything less than an honest mistake, a miscommunication between the two AUSAs that were involved. But even applying the other factors that the courts sometimes look at, the care taken in handling the recordings, the prejudice to the defendants, any tactical advantage gained by the government as a result of the 5 or 10 business day delay, as well as whether or not there was a gross, you know, deliberate disregard of the statute or an honest mistake, none of those factors in this case support, you know, suppressing the tapes. They're all, in fact, the defendant was not in any way prejudiced. The government did not gain any tactical advantage. There is no allegation of tampering. And as I indicated, there was an honest mistake in this case. Unless there are any other further questions from the court, I will certainly yield the remainder of my time and would simply request that the court uphold the district court's decision.
They've agreed to it. No book. Okay, thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
All right, so we don't have to. Mr. B? Yeah. Do you have more? How much time does he have? 4 minutes.
Your Honor, if the appellant here is required to prove some evidence of tampering, that changes the entire nature of the statute. The statute is written not so that we have to prove that there was tampering.
No, you don't have to prove there's tampering, but the question is whether you have to raise some suspicions in our minds that there's some hanky tank. Suppose, for example, this was a very notorious defendant, and it was obviously, you know, really important to the U.S. attorney to convict this person. No, you know, that, the length of delay and so on, the nature of the reasons given, all of those would bear on whether the explanation was satisfactory. For example, in Jackson, the defendant, the principal, the defendant Hoover, was a notorious, you know, criminal. Obviously, government really wanted to nail him.
I agree.
This is a lesser person.
I would say on a conceptual basis, it shouldn't matter who the defendant is, and that the time of delay shouldn't make a difference either. They're separate standards. If it's not immediate, then it's not immediate, and then we move on to the explanation tendered by the government. The government said they did all they could do. There's one thing they didn't do. They didn't memorialize why it didn't happen on time. They could have done that. At the time that the sealing had occurred, they could have written a memo to the file that said, this is what happened, I forgot. They haven't done that. Years later, they say, I can't remember what happened. And then we're supposed to argue about any single possibility of what might have happened and argue that that's not a satisfactory explanation. If even if I forgot is accepted, then I forgot what's next that's accepted?
Where will it all end?
Where will it all end? But one thing I don't want to let go by without saying is this is the government's...
The next case will be the dog came in and licked off the seals.
Right. And that's satisfactory because I couldn't control the dog. Right. This was the government's most important evidence. They had thousands of hours of tapes. They decided to indict on three counts of phone counts. Two of the three should have been suppressed. They started their closing argument by playing one of these tapes. Then they referred to it five additional times. They told the jury, you can convict based on this one tape alone. Maybe the jury did. It doesn't make a difference if they did or they didn't. What makes a difference is what the government emphasized in their case. They put it at issue after they failed to follow the rules. They should now be in a position where they can give us a satisfactory explanation or retry the case. That's the remedy.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Beaker. So you were appointed, were you
yes,
not?
Sir.
So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. We thank the government also. And the court will stand in recess.